From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Online, wildmichiganradio.com is our website where you can find out everything that's going on here on the show. Pick up the past podcast, and that is brought to you in part by Lucky Buck, Deer Mineral. Right now, the time to get out Lucky Buck as antler growth is definitely moving with this warmer weather. Well, what warmer weather we've had, but they are out there and they're getting bulked up and ready for fall. Antlers, I've seen a few bucks out in the field right now. Antlers doing well. And if you've got trail cam photos from your Lucky Buck site or at all, you can send them to us at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lots of things lined up to talk about today. Some friends of ours got signed up with Scentlock. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on with Alex Gilstrom from Scentlock. And right now, some new changes to Pope and Young has come forth, and some changes that a lot of us feel are long time coming, long overdue. But, you know, Pope and Young, very traditional in their methods of scoring and their methods of entry for various species of animals. And what better person to talk about that than our good friend Tom Nelson, host of The American Archer, Mr. Pope and Young himself. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Grant. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, Tom, it's been a long time, buddy. One of my best friends in the whole world, the man who really, he and Bob Miles introduced me to archery collectively. And I love telling the story, but this is big, Tom, because many of us use lighted nocks. Many of us use cameras in filming, and I would say a good majority of us believe that these are not actual aids into pursuit of the animal, just better visual aids for shot placement and for tracking.
That's correct.
So Pope and Young says, now we will allow these as of August 1st to be entered into our fair chase guidelines. They're rule number 7, which says, you know, prohibited lighted nocks and cameras mounted on bows for trophy entries.
You know, that's a rule that had been put in place decades ago when no one, you know, with video cameras themselves weren't even discussed or thought of or brought into play. And, you know, lighted nocks weren't an issue. And it was a question back then at the time as far as how far is too far as archery equipment, electronics, et cetera, you know, laser sights. Where do we draw the line? I mean, where do we take this primitive sport? And at that point in time, you know, and you almost had to be there, and you got to remember this is decades ago, They thought, you know, we'd best put in place, you know, some guidelines, some rules. And again, please consider that this is for club members or people wanting to enter heads. You know, it isn't a guideline for every state and you know, what their rules are and regulations. It was for the club. And at the time, it was a good, sound rule, and it was a wise thing to do. But like everything, Duran, things change.
Sure, absolutely.
Back then when this rule was in place, heck, nobody's hardly even using compounds at the time. As a matter of fact, there were darn few. And, you know, so over the past couple of decades, you know, bows have changed, equipment, arrows, et cetera. And videoing has become very popular. And then the invention of the lighted nock and such. And so it had fallen under those guidelines that made it, equipment that wasn't legal as far as for shooting and entering an animal into the Pope and Young record books. And like any club, there's, you know, certain individuals and members that, you know, want everything to stay status quo. And, you know, but over time, myself included, you know, different members stepped up and became more involved in the club and took seats on the board. And we, you know, polled the membership, talked to people, you know, and, you know, what do you guys want to see? And I don't have to tell you, but lighted nocks have become, you know, standard equipment on a lot of bow hunters' arrows and such. I see them in camp all the time. So this recent board of officials that were newly elected here less than a year ago decided that it was time to make some bylaw changes and change these regulations. So we sent out a thing like that has to be changed, has to be voted on by the membership, and the membership by a 75-25 margin voted to approve cameras, bow-mounted cameras, and lighted knocks. So I think it's a big step and a step in the right direction for the club and for bow hunting.
Speaking with Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Tom, I really agree. When I saw this in the newest edition of Michigan Outdoor News, I was pretty excited because, look, I've used them since the very lighted knocks, that is, from the very beginning, because it has helped me with shot placement, to know my shot, the trajectory of the arrow, and where it's hitting on the deer.
Absolutely.
It's been an aid. And, again, these are 100% fair chase entries. These are not, and I'm not going to go into the debate about high fence versus fair chase. Everything has its place. But when it comes to entries in the books, I firmly believe that fair chase is the only way to go.
Absolutely. And your statement about, shot placement, knowing where your arrow hit, all of those are aids as far as not making the bow hunter a better shot. I mean, a lighted knock isn't going to make you a more accurate archer. It isn't going to help you harvest more trophy bucks, but it aids in the recovery of the animal. It aids, as you mentioned, as far as seeing where your shot exactly hit. Two, and of course, three, it's when you're shooting today, a modern carbon arrow with a modern broadhead, you may have as much as $20-$25 tied up into an arrow.
Oh, yeah.
And it helps you find them. And I have a couple of spots that I hunt here locally that I don't want to leave an arrow out there, and I guarantee you the farmer that farms that property doesn't want me leaving a broadhead stuck in the field someplace.
Exactly. Believe me, I've got about 30 bucks plus into each arrow that's in my quiver when it comes to hunting. And it's, when you lose, you spend about as much time looking for an arrow as you do the deer.
at times, you're exactly right. And how easy is it when you climb down and you see that glowing knock over there and say, oh, there's my arrow. Oh, yep, good hit. I got it. Or a clean miss, or at least I'm not leaving it in a farmer's hay field or soybean field to be ran over by his tractor, or just left behind in general. You always want to recover those arrows. So,
absolutely. Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer here on Wild Michigan. Tom, there are still some states, got a couple minutes left in the segment, still some states that do not allow lighted knocks in archery hunting.
Just a few. Just recently, Washington, which was a long time holdout, in the last couple, maybe it was a year ago, just finally, made them legal. North Dakota 2 years ago, made them legal. And it's just like the Pope and Young Club, oftentimes state organizations and state fish and game agencies moving us in slow motion. They want to see what everything is, feel up, make sure they're not making a mistake. And then there's, of course, other states where, like Texas, where pretty much anything goes, are very open-minded about equipment and what you use. But all in all, and I might be wrong, Grant, I'd have to look again, but there's only two or three states, to the best of my knowledge, left out there that do not allow lighted knocks. It's becoming pretty much common, in accepted bow hunting equipment in every state, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. Tom Nelson is our guest here, host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel. Real quickly, Tom, before we go to the next segment, what year are you in right now? As far as the American Archer on TV.
Yeah, we're shooting right now will be for 2015. So we're just wrapped up editing the last few shows for 2014, and everything we're doing now, including a hunt here even this month in July, we're heading for California for a blacktail hunt. So everything's going to be geared up for 2015 now.
That's cool. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Also talk about getting ready for October, which is just a few short months away here in Wild Michigan.
Hi, this is Larry Weissen, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network all over the world via podcast and our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to our great affiliates for carrying the show each and every weekend here in Michigan. And those of you who listen abroad, we really appreciate it. You can find us again, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral in Osseo, Michigan. Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer, joining us for a second segment in the first hour of the show. Tom, I'm gonna put myself under the big bus here right now because I'm not afraid to do that. And usually getting chewed out by you is one of the good things. It's kind of a motivator. Tom, I've not picked up my bow since November of last year, maybe.
Well, Duran, don't feel too bad because you're not alone in that. It's just, it's so common, you know, for everybody, including you and I, have lots going on. I mean, in summer rolls around, it's, you know, to get your bow and go out and shoot in the backyard when it's 85 degrees and the mosquitoes are bad, or go to the archery club and do it, it's sometimes it's a lot easier to go, you know, I just think I'll sit on the deck, or I think I'll go fishing or whatever. Plus, with everything else going on, it's tough. So don't feel bad. But, you know, if you can't get out, let me just give you this one tip, and I tell a lot of people this. At least have your bow in a spot where it's hanging in the garage or the basement where you have to walk by it every once in a while. When you walk by it, just grab it. Draw it back 4 or 5 times. Keep those muscles in tune because it is tough. Unlike you, though, I try to shoot almost every day. Even if it's a dozen arrows. But, you know, you have lots of time. Bow season is still a couple months away. We've got a lot of time to get out there and shoot. And, you know, I always figure after the 4th of July, it's a countdown to Michigan's opening day.
It is. And, you know, what's even worse is I've kind of like, you know, maybe I'll take this year off. And I'm like, gosh, you know, because there's so much going on. And, you know, I've not picked up the bow. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll just take this year off because I've never really done that. I've hunted so just intensively for the past 8 years. You know, maybe I want to do some fishing instead or some other kind of upland game bird or something like that. But I got a feeling once September hits, I'll be in a mad panic to get my bow out.
I almost guarantee it. I cannot even imagine taking, you know, the bow season off and then you're going to hear, you know, from your friends or get, you know, the trail cam photos of a little buck here and a buck there or hero shots of somebody posing with a deer and you're going to go, I got to get out there. I mean, I get so pumped up for it and I'm blessed. I mean, as I mentioned before the break, I'm heading for California. I'm taking Beth with me. We're going to hunt black-tailed deer in California. Their season opens up the 15th of July. I know that sounds strange, but we're going to hunt black-tailed deer out there. And then I had, you know, come back home just for a short amount of time, then an antelope hunt in Wyoming, and then opening day in North Dakota is the end of August. We'll be hunting whitetails and velvet out there. And so, you know, it's for me, it's right around the corner.
Explain to me this blacktail hunt. I know it's a smaller deer. They're tougher to hunt. But what is the condition of their antlers in July?
Well, they are in velvet, but they're pretty much fully developed. And it's just, and a blacktail deer, as you said, they're like a miniature version of a mule deer. They have mule deer type antlers, real pretty tape, usually double crested front throat patch, you know, but they're smaller in stature, and they are spooky, flighty little deer, and tough to bow hunt. But they open up the archery season. Of course, this is archery only in July, and you know, they start, you know, developing their antlers in March, so they're just about, you know, ready to slick horn up pretty soon. But because of that, California offers a very liberal bow season that starts early, and it gives bow hunters such as myself that want to jump start on the season and some, you know, and start the season a little early, it gives you a great hunt, early season hunt, and it's fun to be able to take advantage of it as a bow hunter.
Yeah, it seems liberal in California, that kind of goes hand in hand, but that being said, it's strange to start in July, and, you know, that's very cool. And I've seen you hunt the blacktail on TV, and again, smaller, kind of skittish versions of a mule deer, but very cool nonetheless.
Oh, they're way cool. And you know what makes this the most interesting factor of it is the fact that we hunt in Northern California, up along, you know, the big redwoods along the coast, just gorgeous scenery. But it's also, we're in Humboldt County, which is the number one marijuana crop production county in the state of in Northern California.
Yeah.
And one of the rules from the outfitter is always like, if you see somebody doing something strange, don't confront them. Or, if you, you know, don't get down from your tree stand and track your deer. You know, you don't want to run into a little grow patch here and there. So it's at the same time, it's kind of interesting. And if you go into town to get any supplies or whatever, you know, everybody, there's a lot of... for lack of a better term, I'll call them hippies and stuff and,
yeah.
and things around. So it's an interesting area to bow hunt. Let me just say that.
I bet. When you said Humboldt County, I knew because I've watched TV enough to see those guys get those little grow areas and start whacking them down.
Yeah, and they defend them, you know, pretty strongly.
So oh, yeah.
Something you have to be. But we're on, you know, private ranches and stuff hunting, but still it's an issue that, you know, the people that run those grow operations are such a, you know, it doesn't matter to them. They sneak in any place wherever they think they can get away with it, you know, so.
Absolutely. Now, coming up, speaking with Tom Nelson here, host of the American Archer on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. That's where you can click on our events page, find the full schedule of Thorny Acres and their 3D shoots. Now, coming up the 19th and 20th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. It is their July 3D shoot. And is this the Tom Nelson shoot now this month?
It is. It's a shoot that I sponsor every year as far as door prizes and such. And I'll be there both Saturday and Sunday. And if any of the listeners have time and want to go out and fling some arrows or blow the dust off their bow and get out there, I'd highly recommend them to stop on out and come and visit me. I'd love to talk bow hunting with them.
Yeah, thornyacres.org is the website. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Jerry and Ann and everybody out of Thorny Acres, this is a great, fun family shoot. They spray for the skeeters out there. The targets are relatively easy. It's a really good time, and Tom's going to be out there, and you know, we cannot encourage the families enough to get out there and enjoy it. And you know, hot dogs and stuff, you know, and like I said, Tom and Beth will be there and all weekend, and this is definitely a time to get out and press the flesh, if you will.
There you go. And I've got some great door prizes for anybody that comes out and shoots. So hope to see you.
Absolutely. What else is coming up? You got the blacktail hunt, and you got what's in August you're hunting?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, we turn and burn almost right from that hunt in California, come back and repack and head for Wyoming for their opening day of antelope season. Again, archery-only season is starting early, so we'll be out there in August hunting antelope. And then I head right from there to North Dakota. Their opening day for archery whitetails and mule deer is the last Friday in August, which I believe is the 29th of August this year. And it's a great opportunity to hunt whitetails and velvet. Sometimes we'll see a little of both, you know, some hard rack bucks there that the end of the month there, mm-hmm. but a lot of velvet bucks. So it's a unique hunt, and that's always great fun. And you never know if a whitetail or a mule deer is going to walk under you. And then we just roll right into the elk, mule deer, whitetail hunts and be very busy after that.
All right, Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer here on Wild Michigan. There is a link, wildmichiganradio.com. Meet the experts. There's a little picture and a link to Tom's website there as well. Tom Nelson is always my good friend. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, sir.
And we will look forward to getting together and have a beverage.
I like that. That'd be good.
I look forward to it, too. My best to Beth and the family, and we've got more coming your way next. Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Thanks to Tom Nelson for joining us in the first couple of segments of the show, talking about the new rules, Pope and Young finally allowing lighted docks and camera kills into the books for a long time. And not because they didn't like them, folks, not because Pope and Young did not agree with the technology. It was because the laws back then were written in a way that, you know, didn't allow for any type of aids, you know, certain aids to be used. Well, you know, they've reviewed the technology and they find that it doesn't really help in the actual shooting process. It's more of a tracking device and aid that way. Thus, August 1st, Pope and Young will allow these hunts into the books. So with lighted knocks and some, and there's still a couple of states that don't allow lighted knocks in bow hunting. So, you know, again, if you're traveling abroad, look at the rules. But while bow hunting, we use specific products, and we have used them since the very beginning of this show because we were introduced. We were introduced to ScentLock, a Michigan company, by Mike Andrews years ago. And we still use them today. And my friend Alex Gilstrom with ScentLock joins us here right now. Alex, welcome. Welcome to the show, buddy. It's been a long time since. Have you ever even been on the show? Because Mike has always handled it. He has always handled it in the past.
I think one time I've been on. But yeah, happy to be here. And yeah, Duran, you've been a great friend of ScentLock for a lot of years now. And we're happy to be on the show this morning.
Well, I tell you, there's reasons why we use ScentLock. I was introduced to it, of course, by our late friend Mike. You know, he sent me some product years ago, and it was so cool because one of the things that I noticed is when I had that that full cover hood, you know, hood and hat on, and I know you have the proper name for it, and I apologize for not knowing it, but I had it on, you know, and I had taken it off, and all of a sudden, all of the scents of the wet grass and everything else just came rushing in. I mean, it had covered up the scent coming in, and I know full well what it does going out, and the technology is amazing, but we have to maintain ScentLock for it to work.
Correct, and that, you're exactly right. I mean, the head cover, and we have different variations, you know, and that's the biggest thing is we try to, you know, we provide the carbon alloy technology in all of our products, you know, to help control the scent and doing the exact things that you're talking about. But also, we want to make sure that people have, you know, a variety of things to choose from too. And so, there's a whole series of different head covers and net gaiters. But yeah, I mean, it's in our studies, it's been found up to, you know, north of 70% of your odor comes from your neck and your head. Would make sense, you know, it's where all most of your pores are in your skin and everything. Your skin breathes the most right around your neck and your head, and out of your mouth. So yes, very, very important spot, definitely to use our products for is your head and neck for sure.
Alex Gilstrom from ScentLock is with us, ScentLock.com. There's a link directly on the front page of our website, wildmichiganradio.com. The technology has changed over the years a little bit. I see the words carbon alloy added on the clothing and some of your promotional apparel. What exactly is the carbon alloy, Alex?
Yeah, our company was founded, you know, almost 23 years now on activated carbon. And carbon's, it's kind of known around the world and in technologies as the universal absorber. It absorbs, you know, the most kind of a human odor and absorbs the most different size odor molecules. And Greg Sussman, our president and founder, you know, he was working in the auto industry because it's used in so many different industries like air purification, water filtration, environmental cleanups. It's used in hospitals to absorb poisonous fumes and poisonous gases. It's just tons and tons of uses because it is so good absorbing, and human odor is definitely, you know, one of those top absorbing molecules that activated carbon works on. Well, you know, so we've been in business now with activated carbon for over 20 years, and Greg, you know, just being the innovator that he is, an entrepreneur, he's never satisfied with anything, so he had to kind of figure out what ways that our technology, how can we be better? What technology is out there that's even better than carbon or can be used in addition? Well, he went off on this campaign and just this kind of crusade, really, going all over the country and even world to talk to scientists and to talk to researchers on what's better. Well, what we come to find out is, you know, strangely, as business, usually when you start a business, you start at one point and you continue to evolve and grow and get better. Well, Greg started at the top. That's kind of the funny thing is there's nothing, and you got this resounding answer from all of these scientists and all of these researchers that nothing is better than activated carbon and absorbing human odor. And he's like, well, shoot, if I have the best, you know, that's great. I'm glad I have the best technology out there, but there's got to be ways to get better, you know. And all the testing we've done over the years in the lab, you know, aside from all of the field success that not only us but all of the consumers have had out there over the years, but the lab tests that we've done, activated carbon alone absorbs up to about 99%. But we want that last percent. You know, we want to give all the hunters and all the consumers out there as much of a chance to get an edge on these deer and on big game as they can and be successful in the field. You know, that's what it's all about. So how can we get that last percent? Well, we got really close, and we're getting closer all the time. And so with carbon alloy, we found two additives that actually make it just a little bit better. And that is zeolite is another absorber. It's another compound that we put in with activated carbon that absorbs. It doesn't absorb a lot of odor. It doesn't absorb different kinds of odor molecules. But what it does really well is it absorbs very small sized odor molecules.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, activated carbon, like I said, absorbs the most amount of odor and the most different, you know, kinds of odor. But zeolite absorbs very small amount of odor molecules extremely well. So that's one of the reasons I said, okay, we'll add this to kind of give it just a little bump, just a little more, you know, of an edge. So that's exactly what that was done. And then the other addition to it is treated carbon. So we found a way to treat our activated carbon molecule to target human-specific odors, and to target specific odors on the body. So an example would be hydrogen sulfide. It's the main odor that comes out of your mouth that causes bad breath, what we smell. Well,
mm-hmm.
So by manipulating the carbon particle to target that odor, say in our head covers, say in our neck gaiters, in our hats, you know, throughout the clothing, we can put that in, and it gives it 300% more absorption capacity by targeting that specific odor that's so common in the human body, and especially out of the mouth, which is hydrogen sulfide. So by making those adjustments, it's not these huge evolutions and things like that to the technology, because, like I said, activated carbon already is the best human odor absorber.
Sure.
That can go in hunting clothing. So, but those additions, treated carbon and zeolite to make carbon alloy, is what we're all about and where we're headed, you know, continuing to head in the future. And so that's kind of the concept there is, you know, to get carbon alloys by using those two additions to activated carbon and treated carbon and zeolite.
You know, I can see that. I can see where, you know, attracting and capturing the smaller molecules, things that might escape what is already treated carbon, activated carbon. You know, when you have a better wall of stopping something, then overall your success rate goes up. Even though you're only talking about a percent. You know, you're only talking about a percent when properly maintained.
Correct.
But still, why not have that advantage?
You're exactly right. And that's the thing, you know, it gets very complex and very, you know, I can go on for days and days about it, but it does get very scientific and complex. But that's how, you know, that's how granular we get here at Snellock, because we get down to the molecule. We get down to the, you know, each individual kind of odor and, like I said, odor molecule. And that's really what we want to deliver to the people that wear, the consumers that wear our gear, and give them, you know, the best chance that they have to be successful in the field. And you know, you hit the nail on the head with proper care. You know, that's really the lifeline of our clothing and the lifeline of carbon alloy technology is it has to be cared for properly. And you know, one of the common misconceptions is like, oh, well, I have to go through all of these steps and stages to make this work and to go through and do it right. But it's really not that much. You know, it's just activating it properly in the dryer, and that's what we call reactivation. So after 40 hours of field use, you just throw it in the dryer. You know, it's actually not washed. That's a common kind of a common misconception, but you just throw it in the dryer on high heat for 40 to 50 minutes and you're ready to go. Put it right back in your airtight storage. And you're ready to go. You only want to wash it actually 1 to 2 times per season, or if it gets muddy or bloody, that's kind of what we say. So if you're sweating a ton in it, and you know obviously it's soiled, then go ahead and wash it. But if you're field dressing the deer and get some blood on it, then sure, go ahead and wash it. But outside of that, only about 1 to 2 times per season, and then reactivate it in the dryer, just a normal drying cycle for 40 to 50 minutes on high heat.
Alex Gilstrom is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Another segment with Scentlock next.
Hi, I'm Lee Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski from the Crush TV.
And you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast there, get links to our great sponsors like Lucky Buck and Scentlock. And we are speaking with Alex Gilstrom of Scentlock right now, one of the companies that has been on board with us since the very beginning. So this is going on 8 years now, which I'm very, very excited to be working with Scentlock for this long. Alex, one of the things that that people get concerned with their apparel, you know, when they look at Scentlock, gosh, it's kind of expensive. But you just proved in 10 minutes of a segment prior why there is costs involved with the finished product. Finished product may not be the biggest source of expense, but it's the research that comes into play here.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. That's what it is. It's all the research and it's all the, you know, the energy and effort that we put into making sure that, you know, we have truthful, you know, we stand behind what we put out there. You know, we're not just going to throw something that doesn't have evidence and doesn't have research to back it up. You know, we're not going to put a technology out there that's not proven both in the lab and you know, and it's been proven in the field for, you know, the last 23 years. So we just, you know, that's our morals as a business, and that's what we stand behind, and we're just not going to put something out there that's less than the best we possibly can do.
Now, a couple of years ago, you guys met some resistance from some people in Minnesota that said, well, your claims are bogus, and took it to court, but Scentlock vindicated throughout the whole process, proving yet again why the research works.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there was a group of lawyers and out of Minnesota that, you know, did get into litigation with us, and it was a painstaking process. It was a lot of years and a lot of money wrapped up into that. And you know, we had a couple opportunities to just kind of pay them off and get out of it, you know, for a lot less money than what we put into it. But you know, we weren't going to do that. You know, Greg Sussman, our president and founder, he just refused to do that. He knew what our technology was, what it could do, what it was tested and proven to do, and he wasn't just going to take a cop out or take a buyout and pay these lawyers off, because that's exactly what they were looking for, and they were, you know, they were doing it unjustly. So, you know, we stood behind it the whole way and said, we're not going to take this easy way out. We're going to fight this thing all the way. And, you know, what a lot of people don't know, you know, obviously all the bad news and the bad spin on things takes the headlines for all the papers.
Sure.
You know, the best news is bad news, as they say. So, you know, the negativity gets capitalized on a lot in media, but what some people may not know is that we were actually vindicated. We won this lawsuit. It actually went so far as to the next stage. If it would have gone any further, it would have been the Supreme Court. So, we fought this thing all the way to the top, and we were ultimately vindicated. The ruling was it was a frivolous lawsuit, and the lawyers from Minnesota had no grounds to make the allegations they were making. We proved, you know, we did numerous test results that were reviewed by the court. And they were all, you know, proven solid and came through in flying colors in our light. And obviously all of the evidence from past experiences and the consumers of the field and all the success that they've experienced over the years with our products was a big resounding win in the courts as well. So, you know, we're just so happy to have that behind us and, you know, being completely vindicated. And,
sure.
You know, we can go ahead and full steam like we have for the last couple of years and continuing to gain momentum and just grow. You know, after a very long success of the company in this industry and in the hunting world as well.
Now, some other changes have gone through with Scentlock, some new ownership. How's that working?
It's been amazing, I tell you. it's been a big, you know, a big breath of life into the whole company. You know, Greg Sussman, our president and owner, was really looking for, you know, some outside influence and some new help in to come, you know, and be involved in the company from the top level. And the Hylands, you know, Pat Hyland, his family owns a privately held insurance company in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He's a diehard hunter, loves to hunt, wanted to get in the hunting industry, and you know, went through those processes and actually purchased 80% of the company. And you know, Greg still holds the other 20%, but it was just it's just been great. You know, he's very aggressive. He's the younger guy, very aggressive. Wants to grow, wants to expand, do new things with the brand, new things with the technology and company as a whole. And there's just been a lot of excitement, a lot of new energizing things going on with us that you know, I think a lot of people, you know, people in the industry as well as consumers out there are starting to take notice.
That's awesome. Alex Gilstrom with Scentlock is joining us, scentlock.com. There's a link on our website, Wild Michigan Radio, directly to Scentlock. Very happy to be working with them. And big news, some friends of ours have joined your team. Saw this on your Facebook page. And when I say friends, I mean friends, guys that I can literally call up and talk to if need be. I'm talking about the guys from Bone Collector. Our good friends Michael Waddell, T-Bone, and my brother Nick Munt have joined the Scentlock team. And believe me, it was not so much a shock as it was excitement to see the Bone Collector guys on with Scentlock, a Michigan company.
Exactly. Excitement is the word, too. I mean, it's been a long time coming. I mean, obviously, you know, everyone knows, you know, industry inside and out knows those guys to be, you know, just blue collar, down to earth, you know, just hard working guys that really have, you know, true down home values. Family comes first. You know, it's God, family, and friends are above everything else. And that's, you know, that's the way we operate as a business. And the more and more that we kind of started negotiating and talking through this whole process, it just fit. It just made so much sense. Our personalities and the way we do business, and obviously our passion and love for hunting and this industry, just made so much sense to partner up. And they were looking to make a change. You know, that's one of the things when this whole thing started, is they kind of their crew kind of approached us and said, hey, we're looking to make a change, and you know, we want the best technology out there, we want the best products out there, and we really believe that's you guys. You know, we believe that it's carbon alloy, we believe it's the product that you put on the shelves. And we, you know, we stand behind that, and we were so glad for them to do that, and we couldn't be more excited about this partnership and this collaboration that's just going to continue to build and build over the years. And there's a lot of exciting things coming out there to the consumers for this fall, or for next year and years to come, for sure.
Yeah, on a personal level, you know, you and I talked about this off air. These guys, you know, are truly, as they are on TV, you know, like Tom Nelson, they are truly exactly what you see. They are as nice in person as they are what you would hope to be. And they are very loyal to what they do. And that's when I think it's a real perfect match for Scentlock.
Oh, no question. I mean, it's in your soul, right? I mean, you can sit there, whether you're out to dinner with them or start driving down the road, touring around to dealers and meeting consumers and fans out there with them. You know, it's the same thing. You know, Michael, he's got a one-liner and a phrase for everything. It's just like, I mean, it's just like somebody takes a camera, turns it on, turns it off. He's the same guy.
Right.
Same story. Guy loves Cheetos, loves Doritos. He's eating all the time, loves food. And, you know, Nick, he's a cut-up. He's always pulling pranks on everybody. So, I mean, it really is. They're guys that you can really, truly call friends. And, you know, they're going to tell you like it is, and there's no behind the backs or anything like that. You know, they're definitely as honest as the day is long and just good, down-to-earth people.
No, I agree. And one of the things, too, I want to touch on that has become a big part of the outdoors industry, I want to look at your line, Wild Heart for Women, because, look, the guys' clothing does not fit the women. You know, it just doesn't. And people are finally realizing that. Scentlock has done that. You have the Wild Heart line, which I'm very happy to see. Can you give me a quick rundown on what's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, it has been unbelievable for us. You know, we developed the product, we developed the line 2 years ago. We came out with our first product. It's similar to our full season fabric, but obviously cut and styled to fit the woman figure. You know, we did a lot of research and asked a lot of people out there in the world, you know, and they're just getting hand downs from dads, husbands, boyfriends, brothers. You know, they're just, and you know, we get this resounding thing that, well, it doesn't fit me. It's just long. You know, the sleeves are baggy. It's baggy in the crotch area. You know, it's just, it doesn't fit me right. And I don't feel good in it. I don't feel confident in it. And that's what we wanted to deliver, is products to the consumers and to the ladies that give them that confidence to say, okay, I'm out there. I'm proven deadly. I look good. I feel good. I can get this done. And the products really work. And so that's what we did. We developed, like I said, the kind of that full season midweight, you know, line for them. Well, we had so much resounding success with that the last couple of years that we just said, well, there's obviously a demand for this. We need to offer a complete line. So we developed base layers. We developed a full line of accessories, head covers, gloves. We developed a lightweight jacket, a lightweight pant, and then obviously our layering piece with the mid heavier weight jacket and pant as well. And it's just been, you know, going gangbusters, off the charts with the Wild Heart line for the ladies.
All right, Alex Gilstrom, Scentlock. Again, thank you so much for your love and support for us here at Wild Michigan. And you know, we have not wavered, man. We still love our Scentlock. We use it all the time, and that's no joke. And if check my bags, check my scent totes, you'll see what's in there. There's absolutely no question. But Scentlock.com, Alex Gilstrom, appreciate you joining us, man.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, as always.
All right. Scentlock.com. There is a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. If you missed any of this interview with Alex or Tom Nelson from the first hour of the show, check out our podcast, wildmichiganradio.com. We're going to talk with Seth Herbst from the Michigan DNR about aquatic hitchhikers in the next hour of Wild Michigan.